All right, so with that covered, let's get started. Our topic today is InfoSphere DataStage PX Engine Lookup Stage, a deep dive. And our speaker today is Gary Foster. Gary began his career with IBM about 10 years ago as a DataStage consultant. However, his work with DataStage PX Engine began 4 years earlier with version 6.0 beta. Gary is a support engineer within our IBM support organization. He's responsible for assisting customers and other support engineers with resolving complex issues and dealing with many performance aspects of the software. He's a subject matter expert on the OSH and PX engine areas of the product. He has authored many custom stages and worked with cluster and grid configurations to enhance the performance of the DataStage platform. So we're very lucky to have Gary here to speak to us today. One other person I'd like to introduce you to is our chat moderator, Marty Graham. Marty has 9 years of experience as a DataStage support, planning and designing and developing the ETL process for a university data warehouse. She's a subject matter expert in Oracle and SQL Server as it relates to DataStage as well as server job design. She will be watching the chat session, so please feel free to post questions during the presentation and Marty will respond. We will also have an open Q&A with Gary and Marty at the end of the call. So, Gary, with that, I will turn it over to you.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. I put this presentation together to discuss the different aspects of the lookup stage, how it's used for different topologies, and how it affects performance on those topologies. The few things that you really need to be aware of when watching this presentation is basic concepts of PX job design, parallel processing concepts, and the general lookup stage usage. A lot of this information has actually been put together based upon years of experience working with different customers and different solutions and seeing how customers expect the lookup stage to work and how it does work on different topologies, which causes a little bit of confusion. So hopefully we can clear that confusion up today. Kate, did you give me presenter rights so I can switch the slides?
Sorry, I did. Did it not come through, Gary?
I'm not able to switch the slide.
Okay, let me take it back. I will advance those. There we go.
Sorry.
No problem at all.
Okay, so in the objectives for this presentation, we're going to look at the three different lookup types. We're going to discuss some of the terminology, and terminology is real important when working with other developers and especially support. We're going to dissect some of the lookup functionality, look under the hood to see how the lookup actually works. We'll see how job design choices can affect resources and performance, and then we'll review some of the tuning and specific information relating to different platforms. We'll review the required range lookup job design changes when used with APT no sort insertion. And finally, in the case study, we'll compare several different lookup jobs using the different options that we review in the presentation. You'll see that the performance is directly related to how those options come into play, and understanding how these options affect performance and allow for better overall solution. Okay, next slide. Okay, our first example is a typical lookup stage. I call it typical because we can see this type of lookup in job designs with little to no changes in the default settings. This job design utilizes auto partitioning for both input links. There's no reject information or rules for rejects. Matches are done against a single key, and there's no sort of partitioning done in this type of job design. Matter of fact, it's not even required because of how the lookup actually handles the reference data. Next slide. A The next lookup type is a sparse lookup, and this requires a database stage. Typically, you'll see an Oracle or DB2 connector or enterprise stage sourcing the reference link. What makes this a sparse lookup is the actual database stage properties, not the properties of the lookup itself. Typically, sparse lookups are used in smaller quantities of source data. For example, if you have a million rows for your source stream or primary input link to the lookup, you're going to incur a million queries on your database. Because of this, make sure that you have your database index, your table index, and your database is in good health. Typically, sparse lookups are not as performant as in-memory lookups. This is actually from the IBM documentation. For scenarios where the number of input rows is less than 1% of the number of reference rows in an Oracle or DB2 table, a sparse lookup may be appropriate. So that tells you that you really want to make sure that you're not overusing this type of lookup for very, very large database tables. Next slide. Third type of lookup is range lookup. Now, the range lookup was introduced with DataSage version 8 and requires additional preparation of the lookup data. This is done automatically in the background by the framework. We'll cover more details about this type of lookup later in the presentation. But I wanted to mention the actual inserted sort here as a possible hit to your performance. Next slide. Okay, so now we'll talk a little bit about terminology and the different types of links or virtual data sets on the PX canvas. In this example, I've turned off the link markers, and as you can see, there are basically three different types of links. You have a solid line, a dotted line, a dashed line, and the solid line is your source or stream, and that basically takes data from one stage and passes it to another. The reference link is a dotted line, and that's quite often is called a lookup link. We like to call it a reference link just so that everyone stays on the same page. The reject link is a dashed line, and that gives you, of course, your rejects from some type of constraint that has failed within the stage providing the reject data. Next slide. This is an example of a configuration file. This is actually the configuration file that I use in the case study later in the presentation. I want to discuss a few of the terms and items in this configuration file. First of all, you have a node name. You have node 1, node 2, node 3, and node 4. This can be basically any name that you want to reference that node by. The fast name is the actual server name. It can be for an MPP type environment. You can have multiple different servers listed here. But the resource disk and the scratch disk are the two things that we're going to be discussing most. And those are areas on the file systems where your resource data, in this case, this is going to be where our reference data is written for the lookup stage, and the scratch disk is where buffering will occur, as well as other temporary data for sorts and for other operations. But for today, we'll just talk about the buffering and the actual lookup reference data. A couple of other items you can see in here are pools. That actually narrows down the scope for different stages to run on different nodes. And you can see that this is a four-node configuration file, which as long as your pools allow processing on these nodes, you're looking at actually creating four different partitions using these nodes in the configuration file. So the configuration file controls the degree of parallelism that you'll use in your job. Okay, next. Okay, a little bit more about terminology. The reference link is very important with the lookup stage. It's actually what controls the processes in the lookup stage that create the resource data. The resource data is actually built into a physical structure called a lookup table, or sometimes it's called lookup map. And we use a C++ memory map function to map this data off of a file into memory. Now, the reason we do that is because, as you can imagine, if you're doing a lookup on an index or through this proprietary structure, you have to do a lot of random access. And the best way for performance to get to that data is to map it to memory. So the C++ function allows us to do that. Another thing this allows us to do is the actual data that's loaded in the memory can be shared across processes. So whenever you're running multiple degrees of parallelism, you'll end up having lookup processes that need access to that data. We can store the data once in memory and then share it to all the lookup processes running on each individual partition. This keeps us from having to duplicate the data on specific type of topologies like SMP, and it's very efficient. As you can see in the image here, I have a example of a lookup table. The lookup table has several different pieces in it. It has a process ID of that particular lookup stage. It has a date and timestamp and other keyed information that makes this unique. We need this because if we have multiple lookups in a specific job or multiple jobs running at the same time, they have to be able to access that specific lookup data uniquely. Okay, next slide. Okay, so talk a little bit about partitioning and partitioning terms, especially for the reference link. From left to right, you'll see that we have a sequential to parallel marker that's circled in red. So we're taking a sequential feed of data and populating that out across the partitions. We have the same partitioning method marker and the second, the auto partitioning marker and in the second. That tells us that we're relying on the framework to go in and do the partitioning for us. And normally from a parallel stage to a parallel stage when you have auto, it looks at the previous stage preserved partitioning flag. If that flag is set, it's going to keep the partitioning from the previous stage. If you're going from a sequential to a parallel stage and you're relying on the framework to do the partitioning for you, you may get a round-robin partitioning. The third and fourth are examples of sparse lookup and a lookup file set. As you can see, there are no partitioning markers here, and we'll get into why that is in a few slides later in the presentation. And then we have the same partitioning method. The same partitioning method basically says, I want to keep the partitioning method set by our prior stage and use that as the partitioning method for that input link for the next stage, or our target stage. Okay, next slide. Okay, so now we have a little bit of a discussion about the two different operating system processes for each lookup stage. You have first a create table, or create lookup table operation that builds a lookup table file and maps it into memory. And then once that process is done, another process takes over, which is the actual match or lookup operation. These are actually called APT_LUT createOp for the create operation and APT_LUT processOp And we'll see these later on in our dump score, where it shows that these operations, how they're actually created and the degrees of parallelism that are applied to each. A word about pipeline processing. This actually becomes very important in any PX job design. And if you think of a water or oil pipeline where you have water or oil originating from a source and it flows continuously down the pipeline until it reaches its destination. There are no storage tanks along the way to disrupt the flow, and we want our data to do the same. As long as the buffers are constrained in memory, we'll have data flowing. But once they have to offload that data to disk, then we should expect some loss of performance because of the additional overhead of I/O. This will become more evident when we look deeper into the lookup create table operation. Right, next. Okay, a word about topologies. We have SMP topology, which stands for symmetric multiprocessing. Typically, the server has multiple CPUs, multiple operating system processes running simultaneously. And since all processes run on a single server, or engine tier in this case, memory can be shared across multiple operating system processes. These could be individual stages or actually partitions for a stage. MPP is massively parallel processing, and this is typically where a cluster or grid configuration comes into play. You have multiple physical servers, each one processing operating system processes and data stage processes independently of each other, and you'll see the network usage is usually increased across or between these different servers or compute nodes when you're running data stage jobs. We'll discuss about the network increase, network usage in the next couple of slides. One other word I'd like to say about this is we have a lot of customers that run different environments. They have a development environment that's SMP, but their production environment is MPP. And when they run their jobs, they are looking at performance on one topology. And then they take the exact same job design, move it to an MPP or grid or cluster type environment, and they see different job run times. Hopefully, we get into the actual inner workings of some of the stages, especially the lookup stage, and you'll see how that actually affects each of these topologies. Okay, next slide. Okay, so the first step is the actual create lookup table operation, and we need this operation to pull the reference data in and do something with it. We need it to actually create the lookup table on disk and then map that into memory. We discussed how the configuration file determines the degrees of parallelism used for the parallel stages, but look what's happening to the left picture on this create step. For the reference link of the lookup stage, auto-partitioning does not mean use the partitioning method set in the previous stage. It also doesn't mean use round-robin for sequential to parallel. It means use entire partitioning. The reason why we do this is we're loading all of the data into a single shared memory segment. The reason that we put in one shared memory segment is because that is going to be shared across all the lookup table match processes whenever the second step comes into play. You'll notice on the right-hand side we have a MPP configuration where you have four physical compute nodes. You'll see that the lookup create has to create 100% of the reference data in a shared memory segment for that specific compute node. Since we have to push 100% of the data to each compute node, you can see how that may affect network usage. Okay, next slide. So now we can compare the change of the partitioning method from auto, which is the same as entire, to a keyed partitioning method. Hash or modulus usually provides the best distribution of keys, but not always, so know your data. With hash, there are now multiple lookup create operations, each working on its own subset of the data. For both SMP and MPP, we have a win because we're now using parallel operations, and each create operation is dealing with a smaller set of data. Also on MPP, we're only pushing 100% of the data across the network instead of 400 with entire. So what are the drawbacks to this type of configuration? When partitioning, the reference data using a hash partition key, you must also partition the source data in the same manner. For SMP, this is done in memory, so it's very efficient. For MPP, partitioning and repartitioning is done across the network. So again, the network could cost when repartitioning the data. Okay, next slide. So what happens to the source data while this lookup table is being created? We can't process any of the data into the lookup stage until the lookup table is built and loaded into memory. If all the input data is being processed at the same time from both sources, what happens to the source data while the reference data is being built? We introduce a concept called buffering here. Rows of source data is buffered into memory until the threshold, until a threshold is reached. Then that block of data is written off the disk. These buffers are written in the scratch area of the configuration file. Any physical I/O is costly, especially in the pipeline processing scheme, so keep all your data moving and not at rest. As you can see in the little illustration, we have the source stage feeding data to the lookup stage. This is done through the virtual data set, but in the background, you have data that rides up the little escalator and is stored in memory. There's only so much room in memory, so whenever that memory is filled, that data has to be written off the disk for other source data to be able to fit. As you can see, the lookup is still busy working on building the reference data, the lookup data, so it can't accept any new rows until that is complete. As you can see in the top box, the actual buffers are named with the server name or the fast name for that node, the actual node number or node name, and then a very large sequential number that is used to make sure that the data is read back in at the same, in the same order that it was stored on disk. Okay, next slide. And now we get to the bulk of the work, the second step, the actual matching process. Here we see how the single shared memory segment is created. So all lookup match processes on the SMP side can access a single copy of the data. Remember, we're still using the auto or entire partitioning method. A benefit, there's no sort or partitioning required for either input link for SMP or MPP. The drawbacks, we have a large memory structure needed to manipulate and search on the data. And in this case, SMP requires 859 meg lookup table for our products table, and we'll get into the actual case study in a minute. But the MPP model, you see what's happening here. We have 100% of the reference data actually being stored on each physical compute node. So this is roughly 3.3 gigabytes of lookup data that has to be moved across the network so that each one of those match processes has all of the data available to it. Next slide. Okay, here's an example of a lookup match set with hash partitioning. A word about hash partitioning, we're assuming even distribution of keys. This is best done by using a key value like a sequential number without many gaps in it, or very unique values. If you have numbers that are not unique or that have large gaps in them, you can actually affect the distribution of your keys. Once had an issue where one job was running very well for many months, and then one day they called me and said that the job is now performing very poorly. With a little bit of research, we found out that we had a bad data load, and we were partitioning on a key value that was populated with null value. So if you have 80% of your data that is null and you're running a hash partition on it, all of that null data is going to be stuffed into one partition. So back to slide here, both the SMP and MPP have smaller memory structures to deal with, smaller objects needed to match the data against. And on MPP, we have less network traffic. So now we're back down to actually distributing our 859 megabyte lookup table, 25% to each physical node. Again, the drawbacks for using hash partitioning, you have to use a like partitioning method on both sources to the lookup states, the primary and the reference link. Next slide. Now we can discuss different design strategies. Here we see a lookup stage with multiple reference links for inputs. This may make your job design a little easier to read, but how does it really affect how the lookup is working? What are the trade-offs for using this type of job design? Now, here are some observations. You're forced to use a single partitioning method that will work across all reference links. Since odds are not in your favor that all the lookup operations will have the same key involved, you probably cannot rely on the source data being correctly partitioned properly for each of the reference links. That will force you to use an auto or entire partitioning method on all the reference links to make sure every partition can see all the data required to make a match. We've already seen how the sequential operation for the lookup table create step using the auto entire partitioning method affects the lookup table size. A single lookup stage can actually only build one lookup table per reference link. But since we're using a single stage, the single lookup create step has to do all this work for each reference link, causing more work for a single operating system process. A couple of other things we can notice here that stage properties only allow for one reference link to provide duplicate rows. So if you have three reference links, you have to pick one that you want to allow duplicate keys on. The other thing is you can see that the lookup stage has the capability of rejects, but only one reject link. So if you have your details data coming into this particular job design, and you're getting records in the reject peak stage, you don't know if it's because it didn't match on products or invoices or customers. So it limits us on how, what degree of granularity we can actually look at the reject links. Now let's look at a different job design. Go ahead and go to the next slide. This job design produces the same results. This looks a little bit different. We're doing a few things differently here. Let's take a look. We can we can see that we're using different partitioning methods for each one of the lookup stages. You can see that the red bow tie or sideways looking hourglass, that is a repartitioning marker that tells us that we're taking data from the source and taking it and repartitioning it for the lookup stage. We have a higher level of granularity for our reject links, and each one of these reference inputs to the lookup, we can now say we can allow duplicates for those specific reject links. Okay, next slide. Okay, this is our first look at a dump score. This is a very handy tool for looking into what the framework's actually doing with your job designs. I would recommend that you learn how to use this information, use it as a tool for tracking down partitioning issues and performance problems. Our job design with the single lookup stage and three reference links and a single reject link produces approximately 26 operating processes that run on four nodes. The dump score shows that the lookup table create operation is running on one node, but it still has to create all three lookup tables, each one with 100% of the lookup data. As you can see, we have a pile of dirt down here at the bottom of the slide, and we've got one worker. We've got a lot of other workers that are waiting to use that dirt, but they're all constrained until that one worker moves the data and makes it available to us. It's the same thing that's happening with the one create operation with this lookup design. Okay, next slide. So now we have more workers to distribute the load more effectively. We have the same pile of dirt, but with four workers. The task can be completed more quickly. The job design with the three lookup stages utilizing a key partitioning method allows for more workers on the same amount of data. The dump score provided here shows that this job, the one with the three lookup stages, now uses 65 operating system processes, showing multiple lookup table create operation steps that are all running in parallel. Each lookup has a smaller lookup table to deal with initially and during the match step. But what are the drawbacks? This job utilizes more CPU processes, more operating system processes, resulting in higher CPU usage. When a single job utilizes more CPU, you can't run as many jobs simultaneously. Thus, the scheduling dilemma. Do I run fewer jobs faster or more jobs at the same time? Okay, next slide. Okay, a little discussion about different topologies. We talked about SMP having CPU, memory, and disk, usually being fairly static. You can't just add resources on the fly if you need to for a change in scheduling of jobs. Contiguous memory allocation can be a problem with larger shared memory segments. This is less of a problem with multiple smaller memory segments as found with hash partitioning. An SMP also leaves network free for reaching out to other source and target stages like database queries or database loads. Scheduling may not be an option based upon your solution. In that case, err on the side of performance. It's much easier to prove a single job runs well by itself. And when CPU is fully utilized, a case can be made to increase resources or adjust job scheduling accordingly to allow for larger jobs to complete in a timely manner. Next slide. Okay, here we have a side-by-side look at hash partitioning versus auto or entire for the lookup match operation. The SMP. Remember, the gray areas are representing both memory and file space. Not much difference here that will affect performance. basically a trade-off when you compare in-memory partitioning of the source data to smaller structures for lookup tables for the reference links. Next slide. In contrast to the SMP, the MPP allows for dynamic CPU, memory, and disk allocation. Utilizing compute nodes from a pool of available resources allow each job to work in an environment that should provide a best-case scenario for resources. However, MPP will increase network traffic, so watch for this and benchmark what your network can handle. Watch for network contention in jobs that do a lot of repartitioning as well as reaching out to other source and target stages like database queries and database loads. Next slide. Here's an example of a job where stages that repartition data between each stage may affect network. The colored lines are, represent possible network traffic between the stages. Network can be very fast or very costly, so know your network configuration and test and see if it's causing your performance problems. Next slide. We have a couple of environment variables that affect lookup stage and job tuning in general. Depending on your operating system, you may need to set the APT lookup table create no MMAP, the one at the top. Set that to true, and it will. You possibly could get improvement in your lookup performance. The same for the fixed block size. Experiment with this if you think that your lookup table is not performing as well as you expect. The bottom are two important environment variables that are used by advanced developers, APT no sort insertion and APT no partition insertion. If you turn these on, it will turn off the framework's decision-making logic to automatically add sorts and partitions to the score to ensure that the data is processed cleanly. Use these at your own risk. These are normally only used by advanced developers. As we can see, they will affect job design decisions, especially with the range lookup in the next slides. Okay, next. Okay, speaking of the range lookup, actually requires some additional processing that you may not be aware of. The framework will automatically add the correct sorts and partitions in the background to allow the range lookup to process the data correctly. Here we have a job design using a range lookup, and as you can see, there are no sort stages on this job design. The job will work correctly because by default, the APT no sort insertion is usually not set. If we change the environment variable for APT no sort insertion to true, this turns off the automatic feature, and we must manually prepare the data correctly to get the desired results. As you can see in the slide, we have an inserted T-sort operator. If you didn't look at the actual dump score, you wouldn't see this. You wouldn't know that this is actually happening. Anytime you have inserted T-sorts that write to the scratch area, any I.O. writing to scratch, it's going to break the whole pipeline parallelism concept, so we want to watch out for that and make sure that we know when this is happening and if it's required or not. Okay, next slide. Here we have the range lookup, but in this case we have the APT no sort insertion set to true at the project level. And the previous job that we looked at wouldn't run. It's going to abort. So what do we have to do to this job design to make it work with the APT no sort insertion set? First, we have to insert a sort stage and set the sort keys to use the equity keys defined in the lookup first and then the range key in ascending order. Next slide. Second, we need to partition the reference data for the sort. You can use the entire, but remember this will provide 100% of the data for each partition. This increases the sort data by 300% in our four-node configuration file. Hash is normally the best choice here as it reduces the amount of data for each partition into fairly equal sizes distributed across the number of nodes used from the configuration file. Next. Okay, notice the same partition marker here. If you try to use hash or entire or any other partitioning method, this will potentially change the sort order. DataStage does not recognize that the data is still sorted by any specific key after a repartition. Same partitioning will guarantee that the data is still recognized